All right, so we'll continue the UK happenings later in the show, but I wanted to get to a guest because this is an interesting topic as well, as the administration is targeting possibly the EPA. Some people think it's good, some people think it's bad. Well, our next guest, David Jenkins, he's the president of CRS and its predecessor organization. You work for them as well, Republicans for Environmental Protection. And a lot of people think, conservatives should be conservationists, right? Well, what's the conservative view on the environment? David, welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
Thanks, Josh, for having me. Just fine.
So give us kind of an overview of your organization. I mean, the Republicans for Environmental Protection, or what's now CRS, Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, isn't really promoted that much by the party itself, I wouldn't think. So what are you all about?
Yeah, well, kind of like the name says, we're conservatives who are committed to being good stewards and taking care of what President Reagan called this magical planet that God gave us. And, we look at stewardship and conservation as core conservative values. We think they've been that way. You can go back to biblical times. You can go to Teddy Roosevelt. You can go to Nixon, Reagan. You just go through the list. And all of them have done a lot of great things to make sure that we protect this world we live in. So we want to make sure those principles stay in the forefront of conservatism. And a lot of times now we don't hear that so much. And that sort of brings us to why we're concerned about some of these executive orders that President Trump has put out there.
Well, before we get to the executive orders, why do you think there's such a disconnect? Why is something like the environment so politically charged? I mean, no Democrat, no Republican is like, okay, well, let's just dump motor oil all over my yard or throw litter out the window. So why has this issue become so, well, if you're conservative, you're kind of seen as anti-environment?
I think in some ways Republicans and conservatives have sort of brought that view on themselves. Instead of actually going out trying to do battle in the realm of ideas and trying to solve these things with these problems with conservative approaches, a lot of times we try to deny problems or just leave it up to the other side, and that usually doesn't turn out very well when you put the Democrats in charge of solving problems. So we need to be in the game more, and we need to be fighting for this. I mean, President Reagan, there was the whole issue of ozone depletion back then. He didn't go bury his head in the sand. He led and got the Montreal Protocol put through that solved the problem, and in a conservative way. The acid rain problem, George H.W. Bush, he tackled that. So Republicans have tackled these things through the years, and it's truly conservative. I mean, you're taking care of what you have, looking out for future generations. Those are all conservative principles. But I think what we got now, a lot of times, there's special interest politics that get involved, and sort of derail people down a different road. And there's also, this libertarian strain within the party that it just sort of let us do whatever the heck we want to, which I kind of compare to the hippie movement of the 60s. If it feels good, do it. So we have that running through the party as well. So those two things combined, I think, have gotten us away from these core, what we believe are conservative values.
Well, it's interesting when we have those weirdos like McCain and Paul Ryan that are just destroying it. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Kind of takes away from the power of the party for sure. But what about people who say, well, yeah, but look at all the abuse that has come from this environmental topic. I mean, Al Gore saying, okay, we're all going to be underwater by 2013. Oops. You have the carbon taxes, which we find, well, makes the ruling elite more ruling elite and doesn't do anything for protecting the environment. Is there a little bit of an abuse problem, and the people are just kind of saying, well, stop abusing me?
Well, again, I think it's a function of, conservatives punting on the issue and leaving it up to non-conservatives to try to solve problems. What we have to do is be in there trying to put ideas forth. And you know, it's part of, it's a weird dynamic. I mean, the left kept pushing a national renewable energy standard a while back. And the Republicans came up with an alternative called a clean energy standard, which included nuclear and natural gas getting credit for, you know, how much cleaner they are versus coal and stuff like that. That was the Republican alternative. Well, when President Obama said, okay, I like the clean energy plan, and then decided to go with that, Republicans ran away from it and said, oh, that's Obama's thing. And so we can't keep doing this rear guard action because you keep running away from policies you put out there because someone else agrees with you. You eventually end up with no policies to push.
Well, that's true, too. So let's get to some of the executive actions you were talking about. What's up on your radar that's kind of causing concern?
Well, one of them is the executive order that President Trump signed that is opening up more ocean waters to, or trying to, oil and gas drilling. And one of the reasons, well, there's a couple reasons we're concerned about this. One is, in addition to doing that, they want to roll back the safety measures that were enacted after the Gulf oil spill. You know, there was a bipartisan commission that recommended all these changes, and, you know, only a few of them have been implemented, but now they're trying to roll back the ones that have been implemented, in addition to expanding offshore oil drilling at the same time. It seems reckless to us, but then the other thing is that all this flies in the face of market realities right now. You know, we do these oil and gas drilling things on the five-year plans, so you review it every 5 years. We're not slated to review it again for another, like, 4 years, but they're doing it early because they want to open up new areas. But they're doing this rush when we have a glut of oil on the market, and the price of oil is below $50 a barrel. And if you look at the oil forecast, that price is not predicted to go up very much, you know, between now and 2030. So we're saying, well, you know, if the market is providing, you know, inexpensive oil, and actually, you know, when oil trades below $50 a barrel, it really hurts the Bakken shale producers and some of the other shale producers in this country that have really shifted our balance away from depending on OPEC. It hurts them because oil prices have to be at a certain level for that kind of drilling to be profitable. When you get down to really, really low oil prices, you start playing more on OPEC's territory, where they can still profit and produce oil at lower oil prices than we can.
That's the clue. Hold on 1 second, sir. We're up against a break. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Okay.
We'll be back. Want to be the smartest person you know? Then keep listening. This is the Josh Tully Show on GCN Radio Network.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and find out you're going blind. That's what happened to me. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me. What a relief when I found out that treatments for some forms of AMD are available and that research is underway on additional preventions and treatments. AMD is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and over. When I started seeing blurry spots in the middle of my eye, I saw my doctor. She suggested I review the prevention and treatment information on fightblindness.org. Did you know that some forms of AMD can be slowed down or stopped, and in some cases reversed if found in time? Get more information about preserving your vision. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website where I found so much helpful information. Fightblindness.org. 1-800-BLINDNESS. 1-800-254-6363. Or fightblindness.org.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $2 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 45 blue pills or 45 yellow pills for $99 and add 5 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call us at 800-590-4987 and get your 50 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-590-4987. That's 800-590-4987. 800-590-4987.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
All right, we're talking about the environment, and we're doing so with David Jenkins. He is the president for Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. Now, sir, right before the break, you mentioned something that's extremely important, and I would like you to mention it again, and it relates the price of oil to an international oil cabal. Can you reiterate that?
Well, yeah. The type of oil that we've been producing here in the United States, the Bakken Shale, some of the shale in Texas and a number of these plays that have actually gotten our nation weaned off of OPEC oil, foreign oil that's from the Middle East, that oil can't be produced as cheaply as some of these oil deposits that are in the Middle East and as cheaply. So the oil price has to be above a certain point before it becomes profitable. And a lot of that Bakken oil that we've sold, we've actually sold at a loss, because we're in it. There's this price battle, where OPEC is trying to flood the market with oil to drive down prices so that our oil is not profitable. And then these people eventually, you know, decide to stop, doing the shale oil, and then OPEC gets their monopoly back, right? So they're trying to drive down the price of oil. And so, we need oil to be at a pretty stable price, in order to make the oil that's being produced here profitable, because it's very deep oil. It's shale oil. Like when you do fracking for natural gas, it's kind of a similar type process. And it's just more labor intensive, more costly. And, so now with the administration saying that they want to open up a whole bunch more offshore drilling, even even national marine sanctuaries, we're like, why? I mean, what does that do to increase our energy security? And they want to open up the Arctic, which, besides not knowing how to clean up an oil spill up there, most of that would go to Asia. We wouldn't even benefit from it if we try to produce it now, if assuming companies will produce it, because Shell and Conoco and these companies that spent millions and millions and millions of dollars exploring that area have pulled out. So the market is saying one thing. Our national energy security is saying one thing. But the Trump administration just seems completely blind to this, and they just want to say, oh, let's just open up all the oil drilling we can anywhere, off the coast of Florida and their world-class beaches, off the coast of Maine and their lobster fishery, wherever. And there's no market demand for it right now, and we just think it's boneheaded. I mean, you know, there's hardly no other word for it.
Well, it's a little curious, because I think there's a little hysteria on both sides, to be honest. But from a strategy standpoint, it starts to get a little odd, because you're right. I mean, when the market's down, that's not when you spend more money. That's when you wait. And during the Obama administration, he put a moratorium on our exploration and drilling in the Gulf, but he really wasn't protecting the environment, because he opened it up to other countries who actually had worse safety standards than us. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but why are we doing it now? That is kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we do these reviews as a normal course of process every 5 years. So when you've got an oil forecast the way it is right now, why would you rush to do it now? Why wouldn't you just let the normal 5-year cycle go through and then look at it again in 5 years and say, okay, do we need to open up new areas, or do we need to sit pat? Because, you know, we got to think about this for the long term, in terms of our energy security for the long term. If you get, you know, Chinese companies or whatever buying oil leases in the Arctic and then securing all that for themselves down the road, because U.S. companies are not interested in it right now, you're just setting us up for big problems later on.
So what would you suggest?
Well, you know, we're submitting comments saying that we don't believe that these areas should be opened up for drilling right now. We should just keep things the status quo. Our country is producing more oil than it's ever done. We're relying on the Middle East for less than 8% of our oil. Things are going pretty good right now, and oil is below $50 a barrel. There's no need to open up these new areas. And then, you know, you've got the issue of concerns along the Atlantic seaboard with all these coastal communities. I mean, 120 coastal communities have adopted resolutions that they don't want, you know, oil drilling off their beaches. And those beaches are the lifeblood of those communities. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 1.4 million jobs. We're talking about $95 billion in GDP. You look at the coast of Maine and the lobster fishery, and, you know, they've never had oil. There's never been oil drilling there, and nobody wants it. And, you know, one other thing about conservatism, even libertarianism, is that you talk about having decisions made at the local level and closer to where it affects people's lives. Well, if all these communities realize their bread and butter is tourism and fishing and these other industries that are driving their economies, why would Washington decide, oh, we're going to plant drilling rigs off your coast when they don't want?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and it's weird how we pander to certain interests and companies. I mean, Amazon had that terrible wind farm that was just causing damage too, and it was just because of Amazon. And the entire operation just powered Amazon. So when you talk about energy security, though, what do you think of when you learned 2-3 weeks ago that we gave the ability for the Saudi company to own 100% of the largest oil refinery? Half of it used to be Dutch. We by 100% of it. That doesn't help energy security, does it?
Well, no. I mean, we should try to keep as much of our capacity in U.S. hands as possible. I mean, of course, when we live in a free market, things like this can happen because we don't control who buys what and things like that, unless there's a monopoly situation going on. But yeah, it's certainly in our best interest to have U.S. ownership as much as possible of refining capacity and oil production and things like that. But you know, the thing with the price of oil and natural gas is that any kind of fossil fuel is that they're traded and priced on a world market, and we can't control those prices completely domestically. Because, events in the world tend to shape those things. It's one of the reasons that we like when states are pushing more on, diversifying their energy portfolio with things like, nuclear and solar and wind, things that we don't have a fuel problem where that fuel can be held hostage somewhere else, or that, finite supplies will ultimately drive prices up. With things like solar, for example, all that cost is up front. And once you've done that cost, the fuel is free. And, I know you have a lot of, solar companies that advertise on your show. I mean, talking about the ability to be self-sufficient and get off the grid and, not be held hostage to OPEC, renewables are really coming along. They're not where they were, 10 or 20 years ago. The quality and the ability of those to produce energy is so much more now than it used to be.
Well, and when it comes to nuclear power, look at the problem that they're having in Washington, Idaho border area, where I guess now those work uniforms have tested positive for radiation exposure. To me, that is one of the craziest options for energy. Because we are assuming and then placing a burden on a future generation for about 5,000 more years. And it's whatever. It is what it is. Thank you so much for joining us.
The storage problem is there. Yeah.
Will you give everybody a website?
Yeah, www.conservativestewards.org.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Folks,
thank you for having me.
After this.